This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You got Geppetto, who's saying, Rick is losing energy. How do we keep him engaged? And Santiago's like, I know what I can do. I can play an awful song that Rick happens to like. If freedom was a
highway. Or
You're just paranoid and looking for reasons to be the victim.
It's terrible.
It's a terrific song.
RJ, is that a good song?
I don't mind that song.
But here we go.
You're one step away from Tinfoil Hat Man. This is you right now.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere.
I know you're here.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
If you're not worried, or no, wait, hang on.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Nice. Yeah. Look at Santi. For once. For once. DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. All guests, and Mike Tenenbaum will be one of those guests at 7:35 this morning, appear. Show up, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You better not under-deliver here. You said this could be the greatest thing that's happened to you in your radio career. Yes?
Yes.
All right, here's what we do. The three of us take a guess, and then you come out with it. I say you got a DM from Buster Olney saying that he's listening to the show and he's a big fan of yours. Trumping my relationship with Buster. That's my guess of what this is. RJ, where are you going?
So he said this could be the end for him here. I'm going to say Torts reached out, thinks he may have a lead for a job, and is now considering Rick as an assistant coach.
That's a terrible guess, because Rick would never bring that to air, ever.
He might.
You don't know him at all.
He might.
Nope. Okay.
You don't know.
Raymond?
Oh, I got nothing here. I mean, like, it can literally be anything in the world.
No, nobody is more committed to the show than you, Raymond, really.
Just being honest with you.
He just played a song for you. Stop it.
So I mean, really, the bar for Ray is so low that if he does one thing now for the rest of the hour, he's tapped out.
I'm checked out.
Wow. Say $1. Just say $1.
Yeah.
$1.
Or say $199. Just somewhere right completely in the middle that you have no chance to win. All right. So there you have it. I went with a guess. RJ with a guess. Ray taps out. Rick, what is the news? What is the story? What is happening?
All right. Here's the thing. So Santi, he punted.
Which is
pathetic. And this is why, again, this is further proof that this show was meant to be, because you and RJ both know me very well. So RJ, you're not wrong. I may have shot out a text message yesterday regarding that. And the second part of that is Dave Rothenberg was 100% correct. 6:32, Buster Olney DM'd me for the first time. You better believe it.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, I'm not kidding.
What did he say?
Question about the Knicks. How are they going to get better? To where they approach what they did last year. Burks, Barrett, who will elevate them? There's no clear number two player. No clear Robin. Randall's Batman, and Randall struggles to be Batman against a lot of teams.
Hang on.
Terrific
insight. Let me look at my DMs. I don't have anything.
Nothing. Nothing.
I don't have anything.
I'm his guy now.
No, no, no. You're not his. You might want to be
his guy.
I'm sure he likes you. I like you. We all like you. You're not his guy.
I may take him to Dave and Buster's myself.
No, Dan, don't think for a second you're getting involved with the lunch. Not for, you know what? I'm going to DM him at the next commercial break. I'm going to set the lunch up quickly.
Now tell me what date it is so I can schedule the same date and see which one he picks.
No, you're not putting your Bob Sasso, you know, lunch tournament on when I'm going out with Buster. No. Are you treating? I offered to treat.
Oh, I'm treating. I said bring the whole family.
Bring the whole family. And here's the beauty. You're so far away. You might as well be in another continent.
I said I would come to him.
Wow, you're throwing out all the stops here. I'm repulsed by you. Truly repulsed by you. What I'm not and we're not repulsed by is the Patriots. That was in those conditions with the game plan, with everything executed to a T. That was some performance from New England and Belichick and the running game last night.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's great. It's just what I wanted to see as a Jets fan. Bill Belichick going up to Buffalo with a rookie quarterback against a team that, last time I checked, how many people I heard said, oh, Buffalo Bills, they could be the team that represents the AFC in the Super Bowl. go into Buffalo, throw the ball three times, and win.
Three times. He went two of three.
And you were right, too. Probably should have been one of three. I mean, Jonnu Smith made a great
catch.
They threw the ball once through three quarters, Dave. Once.
But what's so amazing to me, and it all ties back into the locals, is how this team, and you look at the offense. I mean, when you look at the offense, do you look and say, God, boy, look at the talent. They're dripping with talent. No. They have some talent, but if I said to you, line up the Giants' weapons with the Patriots' weapons, the Giants have better weapons than New England.
In theory, yeah.
Not in theory. The Giants have better weapons than New England.
Okay, yeah, you can say that, but I mean, it's you're only as good as your production. So where's the production?
It doesn't exist.
Okay,
something yesterday, and I think this is right, and you guys can look it up, that the Giants don't have a receiver that has 400 yards in receptions.
Well, Dave, your first-round draft pick, who's going to be a stud. Well, he doesn't play. He's hurt. Doesn't have a touchdown catch. Your high-priced receiver one doesn't have a touchdown catch.
Never plays. Nope.
I mean, so what are we talking about? Your second overall pick running back.
Sterling Shepard, who's good and was having a good season, is always hurt. Evan Engram is just not very good. Darius Slayton, and remember there was a thought about Darius Slayton that, oh, this could be a special receiver. He's a fourth receiver.
Yeah, but how do you use him, though? You can't. I mean, your offensive line stinks. I mean, how are you going to throw the ball down the field? You can't do it.
You can't do it. You can't do anything. Mike Glennon sure tried. Mike Glennon was just back there holding the ball forever on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what you, if Daniel Jones can't play for the rest of the season, you've achieved nothing. You've achieved absolutely nothing.
See, I think you have. And I don't know that the Giants think that, but I think that. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because think about this for a second now. If Daniel Jones can't play for the rest of the season, that means that he got hurt in his first year, he got hurt in his second year, and he got hurt in his third year, all different injuries, right?
Correct.
Okay, is it fair to say that that kind of a player is injury prone? Is that fair?
We're
okay.
We're heading
that direction. So you're going to give me an agree that he's injury prone. That's for starters. Then you're going to also tell me that the best case you can say about this kid is he may be able to be okay. So I have an injury prone quarterback who the upside is maybe he's okay. That to me screams you don't have a quarterback.
And I don't think you're wrong, but here's the problem with you, and this is why the Giants are in such a bad position, is because the way the front office is set up is not changing anytime soon. And if that doesn't change, it's not going to get better because you're not going to hire the right GM. And from everything I've been told and I've heard is even though the results haven't been there, they like what Joe Judge is doing inside that building. And they like
I don't know Daniel Jones a lot. Honestly, I don't know how. I don't know how Mara, the family, Tish, the family could get together and say, what do you think about Joe Judge? You like him? I think he's, yes. The results are not there yet. I like what he's doing. How could you? How could you watch these games with him burning timeouts and the plays and just watching this team soil themselves and say, yeah, you know what? That's what I like. I appreciate that.
I have a hard time seeing it. I do. And I keep telling you as a player, I don't know how long I could deal with that. Like if we weren't winning and I wasn't having any personal success, like I don't know how long I could live with listening to him every single day. Like as I'm not even a fan of the Giants and I can't stand listening to him.
I mean, listening to that
drives me crazy.
Press conference, sit there and tell us how, oh, this offense, they did a lot. They scored 9 points, did a lot of good things. That was utterly embarrassing what they were.
There's a lot of things that I saw today in the way we played, a lot of things that are moving in the right direction.
So let me ask you. You know the sport well. I imagine the Mara family and the Tishes know the sport pretty well. What do you look at say on the Giants and say, boy, that offensively that was really good. That was moving in the right direction. What was it?
I didn't see anything.
Anything?
No, nothing.
So I mean, are the Maras dumb? Do you think that they?
No,
hear
I don't think they're dumb.
Like, boy,
I don't think they're dumb. I think they may be prioritizing the wrong stuff right now.
Well, what are they prioritizing?
Well, I mean, with Daniel Jones, they're prioritizing. I mean, the guy. You know, who he is, how he prepares. They like Daniel Jones. Like, that's what attracted them to Daniel Jones.
He's likable.
Exactly right.
I get it, but it's, I mean, you know what? I'd rather have John Dillinger, a guy that's not likable, that's good. RJ, get John Mara on the phone, would you?
See, but that's your biggest, that right there is your biggest impediment to taking that, taking the steps necessary to turn this thing around. Because, listen, I suspected it. I think you were hesitant with the whole Dave Gettleman thing, and I know you think he stinks, but when he was hired, he was hired for a reason, because he was told, these are your marching orders, and then he proceeded to make decisions based on what he was told to do by ownership, which was draft Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick. We don't need a quarterback. And then try to fix the offensive line. So I'm going to give Nate Solder all this money and, you know, all the things that he did that haven't worked out. Right? So I don't know if that's going to change. And I'm telling you, to sit there and watch, and we both agree that Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, has a pretty good idea of what's going on. Or like, he's around enough people.
Yeah, he's good.
That he hears, like, a lot of the stuff that we don't hear. When he confirms on his show that even the new GM that comes in probably won't be the one making the decision whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback. That is a humongous problem.
And you know what? Just to even push it forward, what GM, if he doesn't like
nobody,
Daniel Jones, is even going to consider that job?
And there, not the one you want.
No,
not the one you want.
And therein lies your problem.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the relationship that you and I have right now. I tell you something bothers me tremendously, and you make sure to play it over and over.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Right. No, I know. I know. DPH or Rothenberg, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. Does it make me a bad guy that I'm actually going to root for Washington this weekend?
It does.
And the football team?
We established long ago who and what you are.
I'm anti-Cowboys, and I will not apologize for it.
This turns out to be a big game.
It's a huge game. Have they played yet this year?
They're going to play twice in like 3 weeks.
Wow.
It's dumb.
So what? And I don't think they will, but Washington controls their own destiny to win the division?
Technically, Washington does control their destiny.
Wow. Yes. Could you imagine if we lived in a world where Dallas somehow just completely collapsed and didn't win the division?
Why are we doing this right now?
It's your dream, I know, but I can tell you this. I've been very anti this the entire season. I can tell you that it's not going to happen.
It's not. You're right. It's not going to happen. But can I tell you this? I have nothing. As a Giants fan, what do I have? Really, what do I have?
Joe Judge.
I have a left
Kenny
tackle.
Kenny Golladay.
You want me to start singing Corey Davis?
No, Corey Davis is done. He's getting sports hernia surgery. He's done.
That was a good signing. Worst signing, Golladay or Davis?
Both of them have been bad.
I was saving the live rendition of Kenny Golladay for Corey Davis for later. But really, what do I have to be excited about when it comes to the
Giants?
You
have an offense that has as many touchdowns as Jonathan Taylor. That's what you have.
Do me a favor, Ray. Shut up.
Is Rex, that true?
Yes. 18. You don't forget. I'm done with you. I'm gonna go to the calls because you guys are gross. You really are.
But we saw glimmers of hope in the Miami game.
Yeah, they look great. You want to talk about your defense? You want to talk about that elite unit over there?
I hate to always ask the question, but if you could form one team out of two teams, what would the record be?
If you combine them, they wouldn't be a playoff team in the NFC. that's how bad this thing is. I really believe that.
RJ, you screwed me, by the way, too. I mean, all I need is the Niners to beat Seattle. Because I need that draft pick. Now I got Seattle wins, and they play Houston this week.
That's right.
Killing me.
They're going to wind up with 6 or 7 wins.
Oh, stop.
That'll
Come
be
on.
The 23rd pick in the draft.
Where's Justin Fields when I need him? Let's go.
Let's go to Ira, speaking of the Jets. Ira in Staten Island, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. And you know what's amazing? It's such a sad state of affairs for both New York football teams. But more so, you know, I'm concerned about the Jets. Watching that game last night, and I expected the Pats to win. Just with the weather conditions, you just knew Belichick was going to come up with something, and they ran the ball the entire day. But, you know, it looks, when you backtrack it and you look at where the Jets are with the Bills and the Pats in the Jets division, they are years away from competing with these teams, coaching-wise and player-wise. Yeah, we have Zach Wilson. Yeah, I do believe he's going to develop into a good quarterback. But it's the rest of the team. It's the coaching staff and the personnel department. And even the Dolphins are a year or two ahead of the Jets. So it's just really depressing watching those two teams play, even though I do have, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, you guys know my situation, I have a rooting interest for the Pats, except when I play the Jets because of my nephews. But at the end of the day, it's very sad because, I mean, realistically, is it going to be 2 or 3 years before the Jets maybe could contend with these teams? Because the Pats are only going to continue to get better. The Bills, as long as Josh Allen stays healthy, they're going to continue to get better. The Jets are going into another rebuild next year. Like, this year is like pre-kindergarten. Next year is kindergarten. 3 years from now is first grade. So they're still going to be trailing these two teams for years. When do we catch up? Explain to me, when do we catch up?
I don't know. And Ira, it's a good point, trailing the two teams. Let's be fair now. You're trailing Miami pretty good also at the moment. And if they wind up with Deshaun Watson, it could be years before you catch them as well.
Yeah, but even if they don't, I mean, they don't end up with Deshaun Watson. I mean, their defense is playing lights out right now. And Tua, I mean, it's...
And Waddle's a stud.
Yeah, I don't know if we love Tua, but I mean, the way he's playing right now, and they're winning.
I mean... Who's by far better, the Jets or the Dolphins right now?
The Dolphins are.
It's not even close.
No, it's not even close. And I mean, it's the hope you have to have with the Jets is that Zach Wilson turns himself into a great quarterback. That's really it.
Otherwise, you're going to be the fourth of four for.
And by the way, I would 727. Ira is suspended from the show.
Why?
Because he just gave us a regurgitated take. Because he doesn't think I'm listening, and I'm always listening. And he's on all sorts of different shows. That's a stolen take he just had. Suspended.
Who did he steal the take from?
From another host.
At our station?
No, which makes it worse.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Suspension effective immediately.
How long is it? You gotta suspend. I'm not on board with that. I'm not
you
suspending
have to be.
Ira.
You have to be. It's deserved. And I love Ira. Suspension.
No.
He knows what he did.
RJ, are we suspending Ira?
It's under consideration in the break. It'll have to be discussed with the board.
Raymond, are you on board to suspend Ira?
No, like I said, this is something that has to be discussed. What's troubling me is how does Rick know?
Because Rick listens to everything.
Because I listen to everything. I know what's going on. Commercial breaks, I'm switching. I'm all over the place.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Rick's Casey actually is
I'm
there.
Everywhere.
He's everywhere.
See? I know they're here. That's very disturbing. If that, in fact, is true, it's very disturbing, and I will go this far. He has built up equity with me. I am not at the point where I will suspend Ira. I won't do it. So if the three of you choose to, that's on you. And I will follow your lead, but I will not do it. Now, here's my question. What happens if it's 2-2? What happens if Ray says, no, don't suspend him? RJ and Rick say, suspend him. Then what happens?
It sounds like you don't want to be responsible. You don't want Ira to come at you.
No,
like,
I love
like
Ira.
Lonnie came at you. You don't want to make an enemy of Ira.
No, I don't want to make an enemy of anybody.
Dave, watch your mouth.
But if it happens, it happens. But I am not at the point where I'm going to suspend Ira. I think he's great.
I'm just telling you right now. And I know how Ray Santiago feels about you. I can't see this going 2-2.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Today's Mike Tenenbaum Report brought to you by Nissan and DraftKings Sportsbook. Mike, we know we love you. You know that. We know that. Everyone knows that. But every time you sit and defend Joe Judge, it makes me love you a little bit less. So let's see where we are today. Firstly, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Does that mean we're going to start seeing other people here? Or like we no longer going to be exclusive?
I don't know. I want to get to the bottom of where you are with your defense of Joe Judge. Because I watch it, and it's hard to watch. His clock management is horrendous. The team is just, they are so awful. Yet I hear you, and it's a lot of stick with them. I think it's going to get better. In all sincerity, why? Like, why and how can you defend him with how bad this team has been?
Yeah, and candidly, I thought that may have been his worst performance. Not losing on the road against a team that has a really good defense in Miami, but for a lot of things that you said. And when you talk about building a team, building a program, good example of it is Arizona. Colt McCoy goes in, he replaces Kyle Murray, who may be the league MVP, and they win two road division games at San Francisco, at Seattle. And that's what you want your backup quarterback to do. And actually, I thought Mike Glenn started off okay, converted some third downs. But as the game went on, I agree, it just looked like they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know where they were lining up. And that is a concern. Now, here's the only thing I will say. I'm sure you guys watched the game last night. Buffalo really struggled to line up against New England, and everybody in the country knew they were going to run the ball. And there was a lot of times that New England was out there with sixth offensive linemen, and Buffalo was still in their regular defense with four DBs out there. And we all know Sean McDermott's a good coach. So all I'm saying is Joe Judge is not perfect, Dave, but coaches make mistakes. Mike Zimmer made a huge one against Detroit.
Yep.
And that's all I'm saying. Like, I can't defend Joe Judge for Sunday. I thought that was a bad day at the office.
Let me ask you one more follow-up with this. Are you losing, because you were very defensive of him weeks ago, are you losing any belief in him, or you still have that at a very high level right now?
Yeah, like, bottom line, just to cut through it, I would not make a change. I just think he's a young coach that you hope is going to get better, and you want to see some of these younger players get better. I know we'll get to the Jets in a second. I thought some of them were trending in the right direction, and I thought Barkley coming back would have made more of a difference. You know, Daniel Jones, to me, is another big X factor here, guys, because the two questions that Daniel Jones had to answer consistently was not turning the ball over, which he did at Duke, and then being durable. And obviously those two questions haven't been answered. So if I'm the Giants, like, it really starts with that analysis. But the reason I do like Joe Judge, the positives I see, he never makes excuses. I do think he's accountable, and that to me is the sign of leadership and standards. And you got to start somewhere, and to me it hasn't been perfect, Dave. And again, I can't defend it on Sunday, but I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, but Mike, my only concern is this, is, you know, a coach like Joe Judge, and, you know, I've heard a bunch of different reasons why you would keep Joe Judge, and I guess the best reason at the moment would be, well, just for the sake of continuity, because we don't want to keep recycling through coaches or cycling through coaches. But as a former player, if, you know, we're in year two and we have another bad season, and he coaches the way that he coaches, like, I don't know, like, what the lifespan is for a coach like Joe Judge if we don't have the success to back it up.
Yeah, and again, like, if we were running the Giants, guys, if the three of us were running the Giants and we went back 5 years and we said, hey, you know, Pat Shurmur gets 2 years, Ben McAdoo gets 2 years, like, I just don't think you're going to get to where you want to go. Look at Matt Rhule, guys. Let's talk about the great Matt Rhule. He goes to Carolina with an impeccable reputation, brings in Joe Brady. He fires Joe Brady. They fire Cam Newton. They bring in Teddy Bridgewater. They move on from him. They trade for Sam Darnold, wait 24 hours, exercise his option, owe him $20 million, bring Cam Newton back, pay him $10 million in guaranteed money. So I'm not saying here they should fire Matt Rhule. I'm just saying, like, it's hard to build a program consistently, and to me, that's why I would err on the side of patience.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. This is not an easy question to ask, but I'm going to ask you, and I don't know the answer. Is Saquon Barkley a bust?
No, I don't think so, because they average 80 more yards per game as soon as he's on the field in the passing game. And to me, that's a big difference. So I think he's a guy that maybe you have to talk about what's the price to keep him at, but he's high character. He's a high ceiling guy. And as soon as he walks out the door, Dave, you're going to do everything you can to try to replace him.
Yeah, you already picked up his option. So, Mike, I mean, you bring up Matt Rhule, and I think it's just the reality in the NFL is, doesn't matter how good a coach you are. If you don't have a quarterback, it's going to be tough to have success, right? And I mean, right now Carolina is trying to find out who their quarterback is going to be. So I'll ask you this, and I know Davis is hell bent on Joe Judge and everything else, but I mean, moving forward, do you think that Daniel Jones, you mentioned, you know, the turnovers and the availability, is he your guy moving forward?
Big question mark there. The verb I'd use on that is, guys, I would scour. I would look at every option possible. And by the way, I know Dave Gettleman gets beaten up a lot. Some probably is deservedly so. But I would say this. I take those two number one picks that he's accumulated, and I call up Seattle, and I would get him on the phone for Russell Wilson, and I wouldn't get off the phone. I would do whatever it takes. And if you have Russell Wilson, to me, it changes the whole narrative of the franchise. But I don't think you could sit there and say, hey, Daniel Jones is our quarterback for the next 5 years. Put your feet up on the desk. That's why, to me, you know, they've made a lot of mistakes, but you do have those two first-round picks. I don't think this is a great draft next year for quarterbacks, but they will have options.
But how unrealistic? It's the Giants, and it's old school way. Do you really think? I agree with you. I would absolutely make the call. Do you think there's any chance that they would make a deal where two ones, whatever else, bring in Russell Wilson? Is that realistic?
Yeah, I mean, Dave. Like, I'll tell you this. Like, when I was at the Jets, and everyone's like, "There's no way Brett Favre will ever come to the Jets. He'll retire before he would accept a trade of you guys." And you know, we worked really really hard for about 3 weeks, and he became a Jet. And to me, like, you could figure it out. Like, you have a great story to tell. Like, you're the New York Giants. You're one of the, you know, landmark franchises. It's New York City. It's the NFL. You have success here. You know, look at Phil Simms, Bill Parcells, Tom Coughlin, Eli, Tiki. Like, those guys, they're all-time greats. And to me, like, there's a great sales pitch here if I'm the Giants to say, hey, like, you could come here and change the trajectory of this franchise.
Yeah, but Mike, I mean, how much of a difference would it make? Because, I mean, we brought this up months ago that should be the pivot for the Giants with someone like Russell Wilson, and he would change everything and he'd be attracted to the market and everything else. And we got pushback. It was, well, I mean, the offensive line stinks and all the different reasons why he wouldn't have success. In your opinion, I mean, you're a guy who knows. Like, if you had the same exact team back next year, but Russell Wilson was your quarterback and Daniel Jones wasn't, what kind of difference would it make?
Huge. I mean, that's why franchise quarterbacks get paid the way they are. Like, you don't think Green Bay's going to bed every night scared to death that they have to go play Jordan Love next year? I think that's what greatness is about, Rick. I think it's about elevating people around you. And if you have Russell Wilson, first of all, he's going to energize the entire franchise. And a lot of he will create an aura of association, meaning when Tom Brady went to Tampa, think of all those guys that wanted to go with him. There are a lot of players that want to play in New York. I know I've sat in the seat where people want to experience what it's like here. And if you have Russell Wilson, to me, it changes everything, not only on the field, but as importantly, guys, off the field.
Mike Tannenbaum, you're doing a terrific job, by the way, today. I feel like you're really on the top of your game. It's quick. It's concise. There's a good rapport with us. You're doing a wonderful work.
So am I the Joe Judge of guests? Like, I'm just, you know, I'm getting better. You know, I've been developed.
No, you're well beyond that. You're closer to the Bill Belichick of guests than the Joe Judge of guests. Don't demean yourself like that. How upset should the Jets fan be that you have a defensive minded head coach and the defense looks like this?
Yeah, no, look, that's fair. And I think from a Jet perspective, guys, if the three of us were sitting here next February, it really doesn't matter if they win 2 games, 6 games, 8 games, 4 games. It's year one, new head coach, new quarterback. But on the side of the ball that the coach came in with, you want to see meaningful progress, meaning does the Jet defense in December beat the Jet defense in August? And right now, I don't think we can say that. And that's scary because a backup quarterback came into your home stadium and just lit you up. And they didn't do anything well. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, well, you know, we're going to rush the passer, or we're going to play really good coverage on the back end. And that's a concern because I don't know where the foundation is on defense to say, hey, we're going to build around these two or three players. I don't see the young players getting better, and that would be a concern.
I mean, they can't defend a screen, Mike. I mean, it's a complete mess. I don't even know where to go with this, but I want to ask you this because you've actually worked with them. And I'm watching that game last night, and I'm sick to my stomach because it's – I mean, any team in the AFC right now, Bill Belichick has the year where with guys opting out for COVID and everything else, goes out, spends some money, has Mac Jones fall in his lap, and now they're the number one seed in the AFC. So we got a one-year reprieve, and now, I mean, the Jets, as a Jets fan, I'm not even close to what the Patriots are right now, and they got, you know, Mac Jones, rookie quarterback, who's only going to get better. What is it? How is it that he's able to do what he does? What's the secret sauce? I mean,
He's a genius. I worked for the guy twice, and he has similarity. And I know this is going to sound strange, but Steve Jobs, you know, created and ran Apple for a number of years and made it the iconic business. And he was known as like a genius. When you read about him, there was like a genius in his simplicity. And I've been in Coach Belichick's game plan meetings, and like he will simplify it to saying, hey, if we do these two or three things, we're going to win the game. And I'm telling you, like the meeting the night before the game was this simple. Guys, we're going to put 6 offensive linemen on the field. They're not tough enough. And Sean McDermott stayed in regular defense, and they were bigger, physical, and it was physics guys. They went six offensive linemen with a huge fullback, and they were just able to move the line of scrimmage, and Buffalo never adjusted. And Sean McDermott, again, good young coach, defensive background, and Bill Belichick's playing chess, and his opponents are playing checkers.
It's really unbelievable how good he is. Mike, listen, you were Belichickian today. Very close to that level. Outstanding as always. Happy Hanukkah to you and yours, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you very much. You two guys, always appreciate being on. Happy holidays if I don't talk to you sooner.
There you go. That is the talented and wonderful Mike Tenenbaum. And that's today's Mike Tenenbaum Report, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. And also, the Mike Tenenbaum Report was brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code GREEN for a special offer when you sign up, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. And that was some Straight Talk Wireless, brought to you by Straight Talk. No contract and no compromise. Also, you can save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com and do that today. The Belichick thing, it really pains you, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. I don't see him. I mean, do you see him leaving anytime soon?
No.
No, I don't.
What? Look at that team. Look at that offensive line. Look at the running backs. They're only going to get better. Right? This is the tip of the iceberg. The quarterback's only going to get better. He's not going to be sitting there with N'Keal Harry and mediocre receivers forever. The defense will get better. They're not in financial strap situation at all. No. I think you had at least 4 years of Bill Belichick left. At least.
And that's what makes it so scary, though, too. I mean, this is the infancy stages of this. And, I mean, they go into Buffalo under those conditions and do what they did.
That was their game, though. Like, that game suited them more than it did Buffalo.
No, I know, but what's frustrating is it doesn't matter what kind of game it needs to be. That's how he approaches each week. It's we're going to do whatever it takes in this game against this team to win. Whatever it ends up being. We only throw the ball three times, and it's always everything is taken into account. Weather, wind, rain, like
every detail, I mean,
every detail.
That's why he is. You just heard him. He compared him to Steve Jobs, like just an apps. He's a football genius. He is. He's a savant, and we joke about it. He completely outcoached Sean McDermott last night.
No, I get it. Maybe that's the disconnect, right? We talk about all these coaches' trees and coaching trees and everything else, and I mean, maybe it's just it's as simple as just. Bill Belichick is one of a kind.
He's one of one. Yeah, he's one of one. All right, Jets fans, now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Jets take on the Saints this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. Brought to you by the New York Jets. Get tickets to see the Jets host the Saints at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, December the 12th at 1 o'clock, presented by Verizon. Lock in your seats at nyjets.com/tickets. Let's get to some calls. Let's go to Shooter in Stanford. Shooter, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks, guys. My kid just puked in the backseat of the car, but I'm gonna tread forward.
Wow. Now, hang on. Like you think he's sick, or you think this is like a motion sickness kind of thing?
I think it's just motion sickness, but he's done it before a couple times, but this is the worst because it's all over the car this time. Usually it's just over him, but now it's over the car.
Does it stink in the car?
It does, but I'm a COVID long hauler, so I don't smell too well, but I could still smell it. That's what's crazy about it. It must be very potent.
Well, I respect the fact that you're fighting through and you still made the call and you're going to hang on the line. So go ahead, Shooter. What do you got?
Thanks. Belichick, right? So genius for three things, right? He's a chameleon with his identity, right? Other teams try to get their identities, but he's a chameleon. He changes week to week just to win. And that screws all the fantasy owners on the Patriots as well, because the guy could have 20 points 1 week, 2 points the next week. Second, his adjustments, right? He makes adjustments at halftime, like the Falcons Super Bowl, and all the time that, like he said, he's playing chess, other people playing checkers. And three, right, his scheme. How are these quarterbacks playing so well with him, except Newton last year, who I think had COVID? Like, he's tremendous. And four, a good thing about the Jets and Giants this year, guys, the tailgating is always great. I just go sometimes and don't even go to the game.
Huh.
Well, I agree with that philosophy.
Good luck with the vomit, by the way. Good
that's
luck.
The best. That's the best thing about going to the games is the tailgating.
I'm not a tailgating kind of guy.
Well, you're not a going to the game kind of guy.
No, if the Giants had a standalone game, I would absolutely go. Like a Sunday night or a Monday night, I would go. I don't enjoy the tailgate. I know everybody
I love the tailgating. That's my favorite part.
But I don't like drinking during sporting events.
Well, what fun is that?
Maybe I'm not fun. I don't enjoy it. I want to concentrate and focus on my Giants. I'm not worried about, we need to taste this Amstel. It's delicious. I don't want that. I'm not looking for that.
Will you please take Lonnie and Harlem? You're procrastinating here, please.
All right, fine. You have 45 seconds, Lonnie and Harlem. Go ahead. You're on 98.7.
Yeah, of course you would save me for the last minute, Dave, because you're such a little wuss. Anyway, yeah, really
Lonnie, don't make me hang up on you, all right? Yeah, I get this tweet from you. Dave, I'm not going to be mean. I won't be nasty. And you come on and you're nasty right away. I'll tell you this, Lonnie, one more shot and we're hanging up on you.
I said I won't scream, Dave. But first of all, how much did you pay Cullum last night to call him with that call? Uncle Rico, like you say, Cullum, listen, first of all, Cullum, I just want to tell you congratulations on the baby. But listen, don't call in rubbing Dave's back, because as soon as you picked up the phone, your hand was already up his back, rubbing his up his shirt, rubbing his back. Come on now with that. But listen, last night was kind of boring. But like the last caller just said, Bill Belichick. I mean, I wish we had coaches out here in New York who can devise a plan.
Well, we
who
don't.
Can just break down the game to where we can win. Like
we
just
don't.
Said, those
we don't. We don't have it, Lonnie. We got to run. I'm sorry. I love you. You're right next to Jen on the pantheon of callers. Santi, it's your time.
Today's three stars. Number three.
Be careful, Dave. Something bad could happen to you. You keep going down this road. Anyway,
I love Lonnie.
Anyway, number three is going to go out to the great Bill Belichick. I was going to play the cut of him on the win last night. Three passes and beating Buffalo in Buffalo. So I'll just play a couple drops from Belichick in the past.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
My face, your face, instant face. Go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff. I don't know.
I love Bill Belichick. Respect the hell out of him. Fear him, too.
Number two.
Dave, can you clarify for me what are we calling this February dinner that you're now trying to plan?
The second Thanksgiving.
Second Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And a potluck.
Well, Rick will make the turkey and we will bring all the sides over to the house. Absolutely.
All right.
Number one.
And that goes to you, Dave, once again, for being sensitive, because you got so uppity and wanting to be a victim over playing the country music that you screwed up a read again.
If you're not worried.
And now
that's
you're,
what it says.
If you're not worried.
I didn't screw it up. I was emphasizing how wrong, in fact, it was. Fine. Do whatever you want. Let's bring in two of our favorites. They come your way at 8 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN. Keyshawn Johnson, Max Kellerman. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's crack-a-lack-a-lacking?
Is Saquon Barkley a bust?
No. Why would Saquon Barkley be a bust?
Why would he was drafted second. You don't look for more production from a second overall pick 4 years in?
He was hurt. The first 2 years of his career, he did well. Then he got hurt. He's been nicked up. In the word bust, I don't understand how people throw the word bust around. He's not a bust.
Well, listen, I'll tell you why he's not a bust. But I think like people are sports fans talk this way.
Okay.
And I understand what you mean by value at the second overall pick. I agree. Like, that's why you don't draft a running back second overall. But his rookie season, it's not like he didn't do this. He had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage with 15 touchdowns. So a bust is a guy who you go, he never, at the next level, he couldn't produce.
500 yards his rookie year, yeah. 700 yards his second year, 700 yards his third year.
He was not. He
that's
was not.
A,
he was never a baller. Saquon Barkley was a certified baller in the NFL. Certified baller as a rookie. 2,000 yards and 15 TDs? That puts that to bed. Now, there's a separate question. If they could redo the draft, or should you draft? That we could talk about.
No, get him. He'll probably do the same thing again. He was touched by the hand of God, this guy.
Yeah.
Look, here's what I would say. Is there always going to be questions about whether or not you draft a running back so high? Yes, there is. But if you believe and you're convinced that individual that you take it at that slot is going to be a difference maker for you, then you do it. And if not, then you're in a position that you got to rethink what it is. Now, could I go out there right now and find a better running back than Saquon Barkley? Probably so. Could I have found a running back that is equal to Saquon Barkley in the draft that I probably could have lived with? Yes. But Dave Gettleman didn't do that because he felt that that was going to change the way the Giants' approach was in the running game, and he did his first year.
You know what else, guys? I'm with you. Like you don't draft a running back second overall. Of course, I think it's a blunder, an outright blunder by Gettleman. But I'll say this. We were happy when, like, as much as I felt that, I was like, yeah, I get to root for Saquon Barkley on my team. I really loved that. You know, Giants have never had an offensive player like that.
Because
never
if you
like
don't
that.
Take Saquon Barkley and he turns into Adrian Peterson for somebody else, now what?
Well, I mean, Nick Chubb was available in the second round. You knew he was going to be good.
But it doesn't matter. You can't wait. You could drop down. You could take Nick Chubb at the 32nd pick, or you could take him at the 28th pick. You could do all those sort of things. But if you're looking at Saquon Barkley and you're looking at Nick Chubb and you're saying to yourself, he's a difference maker. Look what he's able to do at Penn State. Nick Chubb was okay at Georgia, but nowhere near Saquon Barkley.
Guys, did you love it's Giants fans? Who's a Giants fan?
I'm a Giants fan. He roots for the Jets.
So that year, Saquon's rookie year, weren't you just so happy? Whatever you thought about the draft position, like, oh, I get to watch this guy.
Great,
he's on my
Max.
Team.
I thought it was great, but it still only translated to 5 wins. And I'm looking for wins. All right, you guys have to start the show at 8 o'clock right here. We'll be listening. We appreciate it. We'll do this again tomorrow morning.
All right, guys.
All right, appreciate that, of course, Keyshawn and Max. You're on 98.7 ESPN. For us, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 5. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play a champion. It's DPH, Rothenberg, and...
Corey Davis! Corey Davis!
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.